Blog Talk Radio.
You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports in Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Our opening theme, Cthulhu Gang. Some Doc Stanley Sports in the Block Talk Radio, the Trust in God, your network. All praise and thanks to God first and foremost. Father our Yahweh and your son Jesus. Live from our Hitchfield studio. Oh, yeah. NFL Ed is here. All-knowing Eileen is here. Mo Who Knows is here. And so is Clean Jean here. They'll bring them in. Light sounds in the background. Special. Good special effect here. College football, a lot of things happen here. We're talking about college football. L.A., here he comes. Odell Beckham goes from West Coast, excuse me, from East Coast to West Coast. Nets continue to win. Knicks, after starting off, well, losing badly, knows that thing was a good loss. Some college football scores here. Got a chance to see a good game here. Penn State losing the lead. They'll be getting back into football game to Michigan, who has a hell of a football coach, too. Birthday greetings to my son-in-law, Jimmy, and had the shower last night. Great shower. Got to see a lot of people. And I even made a point. You know, she had the same talk to Jimmy. Jimmy's about 8, 9 years old. It's really actually remarkable, you know, how people can keep up relationships. And not having the visibility. And your people you're so visible with ain't there. Sports in that block, Dr. Green, in the background. Some of the madness in the weather today. Perfect example of madness. Let's go from yesterday. Rain early part of yesterday. Sun came out. Okay, wake up today, but here's the God. Nice sunny day. Then it starts raining and hailing. Inhaling. Then it stops. It stops. Not going to pre-Eileen's head. Sun comes back out. Like I said, can't be for the laser. 88 to 90 degrees every single day. 6 hours of daytime, 6 hours of nighttime. Like I said, I can take the cold weather for only a brief amount of time, not at all. Mike Bellamy, a little plug from us. Usually we get the DMX opened up with a prayer, but we won't forget all day. At the same time, we'll get a chance to get Mo, who knows him quickly, and head of knowing. And bring you the rest of the show. It wasn't it Lock Up Radio? And Trust in God. Radio Network. Cool in again. The Bellamy.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, and Trust in God. Now we're going to try to get all knowing. Mo, who knows, on a quick little something earlier interview with her earlier, and I just thought about something. Well, I really couldn't play that interview because it would shut up. Having a good time here with college football. Man, Ohio State is running a rough side. That's being kind. Over Purdue, it's a 45-7 at the half. Man, I think they were 50-point favorites. Whoever thought they would cover that. There's the others here. And we just brought up a good point. We'll talk about later how, you know, one loss in college can be very, very hard. Maybe not able to overcome. And yet in the pros, you know, you can. Well, we assess the fact that you can recover from a loss in the pros a lot better and a lot sooner than you can in college. Well, it seems like in college football, if you don't lose early, you lose late, you're gone. As Marvin Gaye said, you ain't doggone, but you're long gone. Dr. Stanley Sports and Blog Talk Radio, Trust and God. We're trying to get Mo Who Knows on real quick before she blows out of town. Then we're going to open up with Sam Cook. And like I said, we always open in prayer. Here it is. Dear Lord, thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. First and foremost, thank you for all things. Jesus' name, love. Mo, who knows? Come here, Mo. Let's do it real quick, girl, before you can make your run. Dr. Stanley Sports and the Blog Talk Radio and Trust and God Network. All known Eileen is here. She'll be talking to her in the latter part of the show. And
who knows? Now, Mo, you said you've always been a J-E-T-S Jets and an M-E-T-S Mets fan, correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
You know, I think a lot of your affiliation to the Jets has been because at one time, they were located out here, and I wish they had done it. They did, you know. But Hofstra, I think that brought a lot of the Long Island fans. It made them Jets fans.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and the close association between Queens and Long Island makes it a lot easier to be a Mets fan than a Yankee fan.
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah.
No, as a kid, I went to my first game.
A Mets game.
Mm-hmm. Back in 1969.
Oh, the year they won it all. In 1969, I remember coming home, and the reason why I didn't make money because I told everybody the Jets were going to beat the Baltimore Colts. The Colts are crazy. Well, the Jets started the string. They won their Super Bowl. The Knicks, well, the Mets won the World Series. The Knicks won the NBA championship. My first game that I took my dad to for Father's Day was June of 1964. First game of doubleheader, Jim Bunning threw a perfect game. You had the Nets out here one time. You had the New York Nets who were playing out of Jersey. So you had the Nets, the Mets, and the Knicks. The Nets, the fans didn't kind of take to the Nets so much as they did to the Mets and the Jets. You said your favorite Jet has always been Joe Namath.
Joe Namath.
Why, Mo?
I don't know. He's famous, I guess.
Guy's a man. A great guy. Got a chance to meet him on a couple of occasions, too. And I said this, and Mo, Jet fans can take this to the bank. The Jets won the biggest Super Bowl in history of Super Bowls. That third Super Bowl would cement their ability as players, cemented the brought about the merge. And to me, you know, Joe Namath has done something no other quarterback has ever done. He won the Super Bowl MVP and didn't throw a touchdown.
That is correct.
Mo, I'm glad you agree, Mo. Thank you. Thank you very much. But again, you are Mo Who Knows.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. No, I think we're going to let you go. I know you got a 6 o'clock appointment elsewhere, but thanks for being on the show. We'll have you back again. We're going
to
say...
Welcome to join us.
Yeah. Hey, glad to have you. Mo Who Knows on Sports Today, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Network. We're going to run out real quick and say a quick hello to Clean Jean. And then we're going to leave the scene. Dr. Stanley Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, and Trust and God Network. We're going real quick looking at some college football here. Ohio State is winning rough side. Clean Gene. Ohio State is beating up pretty bad on Purdue.
Yes, they have. Pretty bad, but that's the name of the game.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing about here, Gene, this is only halftime. It's 45-7.
I know. Not halftime, though. You still got a...
The whole half of football, though.
Second half of football,
yeah.
15, seconds ago, minutes, I mean.
Yes. Oh, it's 45-17, Purdue at the half, and we just started the third quarter. And, wow, I think Ohio State has only – I don't think the punter has punted at all. I think they've only had two or three plays where the quarterback threw the football. They got the ball again here. Quick, I know you're going to leave, but thanks a lot for having us, joining us here with Clean Gene and Longer Mo, who knows, on Sports and Death. And now, no, real quickly, you a Jet fan too?
Yeah, I like the Jets.
Yeah, now that part, I think that's part of the DNA of people from Long Island because, you know, the Jets are in Queens, and more importantly, they had their, for the longest time, they had Hofstra, where they did the preseason.
Right, Hofstra, yeah.
So they got a lot of fans there.
But they do have a lot of fans.
And you were one of them.
I'm one of them.
Thanks, Gene. Good to have you on the show, baby.
You won't never.
Okay. Black Sunday, Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. And Ohio State is, you know, Ohio State is not letting up. You know, they're still throwing the ball. And you're not. We're going to real quick here. Michigan 27-14 over Maryland halftime. Ed, come in the studio. We'll do the show from here. Oh, you got your phone? Yeah. No. And I was saying we can watch college and do the same time, broadcast at the same time. You'll keep it interested at that. Ed. Oh, let me get you live in here, too. Dr. Shelley's posting their blog. No, listen, we got a really fervent Ed, and we're going to do our opening song. Sam Cooke, who opens up, and then me and Ed will be here with All Knowing Eileen, too. And just keep looking at some of the things that are happening in this, well, actually, there's not much of a football game left. 45-72. Sam Cooke.
In the Bible days. She had been sick so very long. But she heard my Jesus passing by. So she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, what are you trying to do? She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I. She cried, oh, and oh, said if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Oh, she spent her money here and there until she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, somebody touch me. She said it was I who just never touched the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now. She stood there, crying, oh.
Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio on Trust and Government Network, live from my Hicksville studios, and watching some of this game between Ohio State and Purdue. Ed, we talked about this, how a loss in the pros can easily be overcome and recouped status and position as opposed to college football. Especially, it seems like if you lose a game early in the year, you're 2-0 and you go 2-1, you got a chance to get back in the mix. You're 7-2, 10-1. You lose that one game. It seems it's just, like you said, depends who you play, but it kind of knocks you out of the loop, Ed.
Yes. Well, one thing is, okay, let's just take an example of the pros. Tonight, Ravens get upset by Miami. Who would have thought that? Okay. You and I have a conversation. 22-10 Miami. We thought it was definitely be reversed. But what happens in college is when they play within their brackets and the like the top 10 brackets, and they lose, win or lose, it depends on some of the teams they win or lose to, that affects their team, their national ranking. And that's what's fine and three. There's a different calculation model. For sure. I don't know how many fans have that equation.
Well, you know, we're talking pro football, Jets, Giants. Giants seem to have a chance to maybe have a respectable season. The Jets are not out, but they're to the point now. They can't lose at any more football games.
Yeah,
they're
going to have to win.
Real quick, I'm saying, you know, Giants, Jets. Giants trying to seemingly they can maybe salvage and have a pretty good season. Jets are not out, but they can't lose any more football games. Yes.
Oh, agreed. Actually, it was very kind of amusing. They had one commentator on ESPN actually pick the Jets up to Buffalo this Sunday. Buffalo has
about going on, Ohio State has scored again. It's 52-17. They're continuing to go.
Good move for that good team, warm level.
I don't have a problem, baby, with a guy that's not happy not playing. I have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with a guy who's not happy without being playing. I don't have a problem with a guy who's supposed to be one of the great ends. I mean, even though you can pacify, throw the ball in my direction 6 or 7, not even throwing the ball to him. Not to mention his direction. And you know, who's Baker Mayfield? He ain't Brady. He ain't Elway. He ain't Mooney. Who's Baker Mayfield? And you just brought up the points. Now, they're going south because the defense is hurting. All righty. They don't have the guys they had. What has Baker Mayfield done outside being Heisman Trophy winner? You know what I mean? So I don't ever have a problem with a guy come to me and you're 247 hitting your 15. I say, well, you got another. You know, I got Dusty hitting 347. I got Hooper hitting 342. I got the Steno hitting 400. So, okay, you know, what are you complaining about? But I got no problem. Here's the bottom line. Beckham never should have left New York. That's the bottom line. I mean, we had the coach talk about we're not going to pay him all that money and trade him. He never should have left New York. If he had left New York,
We should have got a better deal for him. Let me tell you, I don't have a problem.
Yeah.
I've never had a problem with a guy who wants to play. You know, and you know, there was talk about him going to Tampa Bay. There was some talk about he would be a great fit for the Ravens, and he would be. If Odell Beckham went to the Ravens, bam, it's a Super Bowl bomb. Because now you cannot do anything defensively on Lamar Jackson. Because he throws the ball at him. So okay. I got the Defino, and I got the Hoopster. Knicks are looking like the old Knicks now. A 16-point lead, and you lose. I mean, losing is losing. Become a Hoopster. You lose. I mean, did the spirit of Michael Jordan like have an effect on him last night, Hoopster?
No, they had no defense. That's all that was. They just got their butt cracked. That's what that was.
Yeah.
Just got whooped.
Yeah.
That's what that was. No D.
Yeah, Doc. Yeah. Yeah, Doc. Hello. Hello. Can you hear me? Hello?
How you, Dusty? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's happening, man? What's going on?
All right, how you doing?
Same old.
Hey, I got to congratulate you. You were right on Carmelo. Oh, man, you crap out that boy.
Yeah, Doc and I were dancing last night. We were dancing partners. But, hey, Doc, are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Okay, getting back to Beckham, you know, I like the player, I like his talents, but he was a self-made pain in the ass, man. You know, I mean, that's how I saw it.
To me, it's like New York media.
Let me finish. But let me finish what I'm trying to tell you, man. No. Let me finish what I'm trying to tell you, okay?
No, I just want to interject what you say.
But let me finish what I'm saying, man.
I know what you're saying, but he's a
No, you don't know what I'm saying. No, you don't know what I'm saying because I'm trying to make comparisons, man.
I'm adding to what I'm saying, north or south. But he's a fan of ass that they made, Dusty. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. Listen, that goes with the character, not the notoriety or who they paid him or how they built him up. It goes with the person. Terrell Owens was another pain in the ass. I forgot the other one. The dudes who can say, you know, I'm the story that wrote that you know, and I get the ball all the time. I gotta get this, I gotta get that. And then he's outside characters, doing all the things that are not expected of an athlete. This is what happens, man. So he went to Cleveland. I'm happy, and he wasn't performing though like he was supposed to. So now he's up for grabs because he is a talented person, but he's a scatterbrain, man. And this is what we got to understand.
In Cleveland, they weren't even using the guy. I mean, they weren't even throwing the ball in his direction, Dusty. But I mean, Dusty, you got Beckham to put on the other side with Landry. You got Beckham, who guy was all pro 3 straight years in a row, guy who considered the number one receiver. And I got Destino to come out of the bullpen. You're going to be the guy that comes out the bullpen. And now for your first 4 or 5, I don't bring out the bullpen. They did. Cleveland was not using this guy the way he's supposed to be used. And, you know, we can't go by.
This is what I'm trying to tell you, Doc. The Giants were using him in the way he was supposed to be used. But he was a scatterbrain. His performance, his attitude. I mean, the whole is not because they got rid of him because he was a black dude, but because he was a freaking scatterbrain. How many white dudes are just...
No, listen. First of all, he was the number one receiver.
I don't like him. I personally don't like him.
So we can solve that right there.
Yeah, I don't like Baker.
Hey, listen, let me tell you, man. It was great seeing you last night, man. It was great seeing you. Yeah, hanging with you.
Hey,
listen. We should have got a prize.
We should have got a prize. We should have got a
okay,
prize.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
We're
watching some college football here, and
yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's 52-24. Ohio State is beating up on Purdue. 52-24.
Oh, shit.
But, okay.
Are you serious?
And listen, it's just the third quarter. It's just the third
Are you
quarter.
Serious?
It's 52. We got another final here. Utah 38-29 over Arizona. But right now, I think this is the first time that the punter, are you listening to me? The first time that the punter is going to punt in the game against Purdue. It's 52-24. It's the first time.
God.
Let's get back to Hoopster for a minute. Hoopster,
yeah.
We're looking at the Nets. We're looking at the Knicks. Let's talk about the Warriors. 11-1.
Oh man, they're on a roll, man.
They're on a roll.
Hey, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till Thompson and Wiseman come back.
Yeah, they're injuries. Yeah.
Woo,
man. Yo,
Curry.
Stephen
just,
A. talked about
Ray
Stephen
Allen
A.
record too, Doc.
Yeah, well, that's no surprise. That's no surprise. He was going to do that. I mean, the guy. But last night, I talked to your son, Justino, and that's my nephew, and he said something. You know, the thing I like about you, the thing about like Adelaide, is you're straight and no nonsense. Hey, give me two lumps of sugar in my coffee. Three ain't two, and one ain't enough. Okay? You know what I mean? And he said something last night. Okay. Greatest shooter. No. Let's not do this greatest shooter stuff until this career is over. Okay? He may get hurt in the next 2 years. You know what I mean?
You're
so
right.
Let's wait till the die is cast, and then we can say that. The greatest
right.
shooter. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
And he talked about that. Golden State 11-1. They're playing well. Like you said, Hoopsa, they got two guys that are not back there yet.
They're playing well too.
Yeah, but Hoopsa, we have to look at this too, Hoopsa. How well can Thompson come back? You know, is this injury going to be a everlasting effect on him, Hoopsa?
Yeah.
We'll see when we come back.
Who's right on the money? Because everybody is still holding their breath with KD.
Right.
So you're right.
Yeah.
They're still holding their breath with KD. And
exactly.
You're doing
also,
well.
Doc, I want to say something also. For the women out there listening, I want to congratulate the Chicago Sky for winning a women's NBA championship over Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to congratulate them, and Candace Parker left the Sparks to go home, and she won a championship. Well, I want to congratulate them. Unbelievable.
You know, sort of like the situation with LeBron James, going
right.
to Cleveland,
right.
going back there after going to Miami and winning
yeah.
that championship.
You
got to take it out
of
here.
Yeah, and on top of that, when he left Cleveland, they burned his jersey. They cursed him out. Was it the governor or the senator? Is it what
owner.
To do with him? I mean, they lambasted him.
Everybody.
Everybody
talks about it.
And he comes back, and he gives him a championship. So now they're eating crow for realizing that this man did what he
and
had to do.
And crow without hot sauce at that. Crow without hot sauce
horse,
at that,
horse maneuver right now.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, that's why I love sports. My panel, not only do they have the intellect, but the class and character. Now, who's just said horse manure? He didn't say doo-doo, okay? He said horse manure. So people go, that's nice. Wasn't that Bob Talk Radio, Tristan Gow? No, it's a Saturday show. We're watching some football games. We had a good game earlier, Purdue against Michigan. Missed the field goal, but they came back, had two great possessions, took the lead, but Michigan came back. Right now, we're still watching some of this massacre. But Penn State, and Ed, we talked about it. The Penn State had missed the field goal, and it changed the whole complexity of that game because if they had to make that field goal, they'd have had the lead, and I had to worry about catching up. Yeah, remember? And they'd
right.
have to get the ball. Yeah. That's the only sports in their blog talk. I want to take a chance. I look through the military guys. I want to take a chance, moment here, too. Salute all the military guys. The 11th of November is the birthday of the greatest son-in-law in the world, Michael Linton, and they had a great shower last night for him and my daughter, Demi, and it was so good to see the crowd there. But we want to salute all the veterans, too. And, you know, Destino, here's something that hit me last night. With all the money that is always allocated in the budget for the military, it is ridiculous. It is ludicrous. It is shameful. It is a goddamn shame that the limited amount of money that the military people pay. You know, they're willing to pay $50 for a screw and not pay military personnel. Ridiculous. I mean, if I thought about it, it's ridiculous. The kind of money that's allocated in a United States budget for military personnel to not to be paid any kind of real money.
The military's always kicked in the ass. I mean, your soldiers, and you're supposed to go out there and do what's that expression they tattooed on my ass? Do or die or
live or die.
Kill or be killed for your country. I said, goddamn. I mean, but treat me like a human.
And also, here's another thing, Destino, that gets me, and a lot of people don't know this. Not standing supposed to be a block. It's a Sunday edition. It's college football. We got a horde of things happening here. The Rangers will be playing the Blue Jackets tonight. Rangers. You know, nowadays, Ed Husa, Destino, now they give you – years ago you couldn't do that. Now they give you this on everything. You know, everything is just if you're going to the grocery store – hey, listen, if you're going to the grocery store, it's a plus seven, you'll be back in 15 minutes. You know what I mean?
It's all gambling, man.
It always has been. But right now, Ohio State, 52-24. That Purdue game was a good game. Purdue had missed the field goal, but they came back, made up with a couple of big drives. We got some big football games, the Thursday night football game, where the Dolphins their win. You know, Ed, the Dolphins are back in that division now with that win. They're back in that division.
Right. The Steelers could be tied for first place. They win tomorrow.
If they win tomorrow,
the Steelers win tomorrow, they're tied for the division win with the Jaguars.
Exactly.
The Ravens.
Yeah, but they've been looking good. But still, another been sloppy. I mean, they lost games that they should have won.
It's a normal carnival right now. Oh man, every team. Look at the West. All right, AFC West. Everyone's got five games. It's really fun, gentlemen. I'm kind of enjoying it. And the North is very locked up. Tennessee Titans.
Well, I think the big thing here, too, is the running back is not – you know, this is the thing that's remarkable. I remember Doc Stanley supposed to block that when it touched the government. Then worked this, you know, baby Lois, the Houston NFL. And all my – where's all my – I can't tell you. Here's something that was remarkable. Now, you talk about Henry is out. And I remember this because the legendary, the late Carl Netzville, personal photographer of Malcolm X, called me, Doc, we're having some down at Showman, a legendary spot up in Harlem. He said, Jim Brown's going to be there Saturday. Now, wow. The legendary Carl Netzville called me to come down at a fair at the legendary Showman's with the also iconic and legendary Jim Brown. And who was there, too? The iconic, legendary sports editor and sports writer of the Anthem News, Howie Evans. Now, when the affair was over, Howie Evans says to me, hey, Mel, you got a car? I said, yes. Can you give me and Jim a ride? Jim Brown? I'd have carried him there. We get to the spot. Oh, listen, man, you know, I said, Howie, I'll be back for you in a half hour. I get there. And now, beyond the fact about the grace of God, the privilege to drive Jim Brown in my car, Howie Evans says to me, Mel, you know what? You introduce him to the kids. And I told the kids, you have no idea who stands before you. He's the greatest football player that ever lived. Where I'm going with this is, Ed just talked about him getting hurt. And this, I never get the question. The kid said, of all your records, what are you most proud of? And Jim Brown said, I never missed
a game.
That's mind-boggling. Oh. That's mind-boggling. The greatest running back of his era, Ed. The guy that every... I remember my late
retired
friend.
At 29 years old. Went to Hollywood.
29 years old. Dick Lynch told me something I never did. And I knew it. I said, how good was Jim Brown? He said, how good was he? It was all they had. We knew he was coming.
And
we still
and his book out of bounds. And his book is out of sight, man. Out of bounds. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
And like you said, Ed, now Henry's out. But Jim Brown never missed a game. 9 years.
Never got hurt.
And that's a fan. You know, I'm coming to see the game. Okay, Hoops is not going to play today. Ed Miller's not going to play today. Or Justino Baby was going to pitch today. Wait a minute. I only come to 2-3 games a year. Now, I don't see Justino. Ed ain't playing. The Hoops is hurt. And, you know, and a lot of these guys today, I remember Ed, Justino, Hoopster, there was a guy, a baseball player, who couldn't play, Ed, you see that? Because he had turf toe. How do you have turf toe and you play on a grass field? He's got turf toe. He can't play, Ed. He can't play. He's making, what, $17 million a year? And he can't play.
Shoes.
but when Ed made that comment, good. Good, you know.
No, they said put gauze out of his feet, wrap him up like they do the boxing glove. I mean, a fighter's hands, and you can play. So all this crap about
we're gonna come in here. I got all knowing. I need a minute. I need a minute. And we talked about something that we talked about last night, and I'm holding this. Guys today. Bigger, stronger, faster, but not with the fundamentals of the guys of yesteryear.
Well, yeah, in a sense,
hold on,
right.
I got the all knowing Eileen. Go ahead, Eileen.
No, we just talked about how, you know, we have all this technology right now, and they're stronger, they're faster, their techniques are different, but there's a lot of, I guess you could say, common sense. That's being left out of the equation, and people aren't just going with their gut and calling plays as they see them.
Absolutely right, because you have the high tech of training and conditioning a fighter, all right? All this personal trainer and the personal cook, and then the hyperbaric chamber and sitting on a bucket of ice. And with baseball, now some genius said, well, the arm should only go 5 innings, and then we take him out, even if he has a no-hitter, and they lose his no. I mean, when pitchers would go the whole nine yards, even if they were losing. And here you guys, what was the guy? Denny McClain, whatever it is, I forgot the pitcher, who won 26, 27 games. You don't see those guys anymore. You're a superstar if you have a record of 13 and 5, and a candidate for a Cy Young.
The belt of what you said. I remember watching the game. That's when he spoke to the Block the Greater Trust Network Network all night. I remember this guy was pitching against the Yankees from Toronto. Are you ready for this? He was 13-7. He was walking 5 men a game, down from the 7 men a game he walked last year. And you ready for this, all-knowing Eileen? Are you ready for this? He was the leading candidate at 13-6, 5 walks a game, a 3.62 ERA. He was the leading candidate for the Cy Young Award.
Cy Young and probably MVP. Because that's how, listen,
put you up in the gun. Say, know your place.
That's why
Any thoughts on that?
No.
Give us some thoughts. Go ahead.
A Cy Young Award?
Yeah,
I mean, the record? Yeah.
13-6. 5 walks a game.
Why, Doc?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Right, because the other pitchers, it doesn't show talent.
Mm. It doesn't show talent. It doesn't show consistency. And it just
in his case, was a little luck.
Yeah. And I remember I'm watching the playoffs, and their shift now. Everybody, I got Ed Miller, left-handed hitter, so I put the second baseman in right field, the first baseman behind first base, the shortstop, other side of second base. He's got the whole left side of the infield to hit. He's done this twice already, and he does it now for the third time, and I'm thinking, common sense. Wait a minute. He's already showed you that you don't need to do this, but the analytics say you do this. You know, it's crazy. And it's what you said. It's Benny Stiles said some other day, he says, Doc, forget about the old ways. Today, baseball is like a video game, and the players are robots.
Absolutely. They are. They're programmed by the geniuses who it's like, what's that doofus who knocked out Rocky? Drago. He was programmed through electronics and knocked out the other Apollo Creed, killed Apollo Creed because he was, programmed. Well, that's exactly what the athletes today are, especially pitchers. They're programmed to do a certain amount of innings and this and taken out to, and the only difference is that they're more stronger and more nutrition and stronger than they were in the old days. That I put in quotations. In the old days, with that not much that with all that finesse missing, these guys win the whole nine innings, man. These guys, if it was a tie game, sometimes they were playing into the 10th and 11th inning.
So it makes you think, is the technique of these trainers, which they think is so technically advanced, is it or is it hurting them? I mean, is it the fact that you can throw that pitch faster? Is that what's taken four additional innings and strikeouts off your record?
Yeah, listen, all-knowing, Baby Lois, Hoopster, Innovator, you're never going to see another 300-game winner again. You're never – it's hard to win 20 games. And what you talked about there, too, just,
go ahead.
I mean, because of the analytics. Okay, here it is.
Yeah.
Ed Miller. Now, today's pitchers, they pitch once a week for half an hour. Because after 100 pitch count, you're gone. Okay, so you make. I got this 1.30. I got $137 million contract that you got for 5 years. Okay, now here's Ed Miller. Ed Miller goes 5 2/3. He's up 3-1. We take Ed out because now he's at 100 pitches. The fact that he's walked nobody and struck out 7 don't mean nothing. He's got 100 pitches. So I take Ed out. I bring in the Hoopster. Hoopster finishes the sixth inning. Okay, then I bring in Destino for the seventh inning. Okay, it's 3-1. I bring in Doc. I give up a home run, and now Ed still has a 3-2 lead. We come into the ninth inning, and I bring in the closer, Danny. Danny gives up a 2-run home run, so we lose the game. Okay, Ed can't win the game, and this analytics is out the window. Catfish under 10 minutes, I'll never forget. We're down at Mickey Mantle's. He said the reason why they had those guys in the bullpen in the old days, they didn't want them the game in the first place. I mean, nine innings is what the guys wanted to do.
Exactly.
I mean,
because
it's ridiculous.
Every pitcher who comes into any league, he's starting with Little League all into the major leagues, is expected to pitch the whole nine innings. Those dudes who wind up in the bullpen are dudes like Mariano Rivera, who couldn't go past two innings and got killed.
You didn't have to go there.
But he was great in those two or three innings. That's why he became the closer of the century. But he was a bum pitcher, man. And this is what the heck is – that's why the bullpen was so full of these dudes. Dudes who cannot go nine innings. And then the dudes who they hired to be full pitchers, they're programmed to go – 5 and 6, okay, kid, go take a shower. You're finished. The other guy will clean up.
I remember, But you're saying
comb your hair.
Yeah, go. Ball. And here's another thing. I remember a guy was throwing a no-hitter. They took him out after five innings. Mm-hmm. And they asked him, well, how do you feel about it? He said, man, I was done. I couldn't go another inning. I was done. He got a no-hitter. He said, I was done. I was fit. I was gassed. Because they're programming them now in Pony League, in the Little League. Yeah, I used to be in the Little League. You could pitch every week. Now, no, you can't pitch this week. You pitched last week. That's 7 days ago. They're making them, sorry to use this language, to steal what you lose, little choachers. They can't go more. Last year, the guy blew the World Series. His ace pitcher, sixth inning.
Yep.
He gave up no walks, nine strikeouts. The guy's coming up a 0-6. He took him out of the game because analytically, they said you don't pitch to the lineup three times. That's
exactly.
He lost the game. Dr. Box Up Radio or Sunday edition. We're going to get another update on the Ohio State score. All knowing. Any last thoughts before we let you go?
That's it.
Okay. Thanks so much. All knowing, Eileen.
Thank you.
Going back to NFL Ed. We got you. Okay. Here's the update now. Purdue is making a move. It is 52-31. And we've got 13 minutes left here. And Purdue is making a move. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, is it Ohio State here? They played 70 yards. Curry drive here. No. Hold on. Ohio State was looking to finish this thing off. If they get this score here, they were making 59-31. And, yeah, 59-31. They just scored. So it's 58-31. Utah beat Arizona 38-29. That's the earliest score. Curtis Bowling just scored a 5-yard TD reception. So that's about that. Wow. Kansas 25. Arkansas to LSU. It is 58-31. Ohio State over Purdue. It's not more competitive than it sounds. It was about to wow. Very big distortion before. But there it is. Update on that. We've got some other scores here. We're looking for that score. We're talking about the Penn State Michigan score. Michigan won the game by 3 points, coming back after being down and up at the same time. Here's the final here on this drive, 59-31. Ohio State right now with about a good 9 minutes or so left in this football game. So this game is kind of over. We're looking at NFL games tomorrow. We got Carolina, and this was never to the left. That was to the franchise. He's back.
I think Cam Newton shouldn't have left. North Carolina is definitely in a quarterback crisis right now. So they need another quarterback. Jose can sign on or whatever, but Darnell is not the answer, in my opinion. And I think they believe that now. And bring Cam Newton back and try to salvage whatever you can this season. 3-0 start, and they just went downhill from there. They have quarterback issues. And Cam Newton coming back would be the correct answer. That'd be the solution, gentlemen.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they cut Cam Newton?
No. They cut him last year. It was 2 years ago.
Right.
The Patriots
cut him. No?
Yeah. And you know, that was something that was sort of like a smack in the face.
Yeah.
This guy took Super Bowl. He was the face of the franchise. But it's like it's going out to Yankee Stadium and tearing down Babe Ruth's pitches. you just couldn't understand that move at all. But he's back. Him and Beckham have signed 1 year deals now with their respective clubs. So he's got a 1 year deal. And same thing with Beckham. He's got a 1 year deal with LA. It's interesting to see how it works out.
Oh, good.
Those are big tests for tomorrow.
Okay, we're just checking our specs for the game. I got the Cowboys. Okay, all right. Okay, good.
All right.
Ooh, is that my voice?
Is this you?
Yeah. It was me. Okay.
Okay,
gentlemen. We're looking at the baseball season, going back a little bit, and I want to talk to this.
How could Ed Zeno have to,
how could the Astros, after waiting all year long, to sign Dusty Baker to give him a one-year deal? Back-to-back division champions, took you to the World Series, and you can't take away the fact that you have the best hitting team in baseball, best defensive team in baseball. As John McEnroe said, I think it's, are you serious that Dusty Baker got a one-year contract?
Well, the justification is the fact that, well, Dusty Baker's been a tremendous ball player. What was it? Los Angeles Dodgers. Excuse me.
Right.
Oh, that squeaky things going into my ears.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah, he was a tremendous ball player, World Series and all that. I think under Lasorda was it and all that. All
right,
he became a manager and a coach the right way, coached minor leagues and all that, and he came into the big leagues. The problem that I see, in a sense, and you don't have to agree, but I hate to use the word with justification, is the fact that Dusty Baker has brought the teams to the show two or three times, but he's never won the show. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
He's been to the World Series twice.
What? That's what I'm saying. Well, he's never won the World Series. He wanted to play, but not as a manager.
No, but what does that have to do with the fact that he had the best hitting team in baseball, the best defensive team in baseball, and you mean to tell me you give the guy a one-year contract? Especially when you put him in that situation where nobody wanted to manage the Astros.
Well, this is
what
I'm
saying.
But people may think it's unfairness. I mean, to me, it's a business situation. Okay, give you another one-year contract to see if you can put the team. He did that all the time. He made the national contenders, I think Cincinnati Reds contenders and all that, but never won the big show.
He's the only manager to be fired with a winning record.
Walks away.
Yeah, you're looking at my phone. Yeah. He's the only manager with a winning record to be fired.
What about Willie Randolph? He was fired on the road because the team wasn't doing well. But he had a winning team. I mean,
But Dusty's the only manager to get fired three times from a winning team. The Cubs had won 90 games in the division. The Capitals had won 90 games in the division.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati. How do you fire a guy that wins the division title and wins 90 games?
Because
how do you get fired?
He never took the team to the big show, Doc.
How many guys have never did that? How many guys have never did that? Has Aaron Boone done that? Aaron Boone hasn't done that.
Aaron Boone cannot even shine his own shoes. But the fact
Aaron Boone had a three-year contract with the Yankees. He's going to fire his staff. Okay, so Ed and Eileen is in the car. Ed is sitting in the back. Eileen's sitting in the back. I'm driving the car. You give Ed the ticket?
Please.
You give Ed the ticket?
The Yankees owe Aaron Boone for putting him into the World Series with a one-shot home run hit. So they owe him. So they keep him. But he's a losing manager.
The point you make now is, how come they never offered the job to Chris Kemp? Hey, it is the bottom line. I mean, listen, Baker, you asked Baker to come in on the situation of nobody wants to manage this team.
So he manages the team. Now he takes the team to the playoffs. Okay, that's last year. Now he comes back, and now he takes it to the playoffs. He takes it to the World Series, and he has the highest hitting team batting average in baseball, the best defensive team in baseball. Five guys are going to win a Gold Glove. Now, it took you long enough to sign him, and you give him a one-year deal?
Yeah.
You owe Dusty. How do you give him a one-year deal? And then you turn around and Florida gives Don Mattingly a two-year deal with a last-place team?
It goes back to what I've been telling you for the longest. Joe Torre, Dave Winfield, and Don Mattingly. Dave Winfield and Mattingly are neck and neck for the batting title. Okay? Don Mattingly gets a hit, boom. So his average goes up. Okay? But Joe Torre pulls him out to preserve that because next time Dave Winfield grounds it out, so his average is screwed up, and right then and there, Don Mattingly got the batting title. I mean, that's manipulation. That's poor management. Okay?
Yeah, but
I'm just saying the games that these dudes play because they're in power.
Yeah, hold on again. Hold on again. That's really closing the Block Talk Radio and Trust Us Up. That was, we're getting ready to close it out here. Everybody just relax for just a minute. And that Marvin can have this to say before we go on our way. Hold on, gang.
Don't you need to relax? I'm
Well, you know, I give you hope she's gone. You didn't even notice it?
Yeah, because he's supposed to go home. Okay.
All right.
A Rádio Pajeú é o mundo todo. Fala, Stanley, direto dos Estados Unidos.
Meu nome é Doug Stanley.
Meu nome é Doug Stanley.
E eu moro em Nova York.
Eu moro em Nova York.
Nos Estados Unidos.
Nos Estados Unidos.
E estou ouvindo Radio Web Pajeú.
Estou ouvindo a Rádio Web Pajeú.
Um abraço.
Um abraço.
Hugs. God bless you.
Deus abençoe você.
Eita, menino, quer dizer que agora é internacional, é?
Yes. Ué.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save the world from despair.
I think that's me.
Really cares? There'll come a time. There'll come a time when the world won't be singing. When the world won't be singing.
Yeah.
Flowers won't grow.
Me and Ed are talking the same.
Flowers won't grow. No. Bells won't be ringing.
That's it. I get you.
Won't be ringing. Who really cares? Who really cares? Who's willing to try? Who is willing to try? To save a world. To save a world. That's destined to die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world. When I look at the world. It fills me with sorrow. It fills sorrow. Little children today.
Children today.
Really suffer
tomorrow.
Really suffer
tomorrow. No, no, no. Go ahead.
What a shame.
No, you want to...
What a shame. As such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
No, I'm just saying.
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the baby. And if you want a man, you got love. Save the baby. Oh, you will save the baby. All of the children.
Of a funeral? Put the other guy back in?
Who's willing to try?
No flat,
yeah. To save our world, yeah. Save our sweet world. Save a world that is destined to die.
We're watching some of this game here, and Ohio State is. We'll take a look. Let me see. We have the 59 to. May have been a fumble recovery by Ohio State. They didn't recover. 4th and 8, so they're going for it. 7 minutes left to go. And Purdue is making a pretty good run. This will be the football game right here, so we're going to keep it live, make sure what's happening here. And he's trying to go to the end zone, and they got a touchdown. It's the play he went through before. It's the touchdown, and it is now 59 Ohio State, and Purdue can make it 59-38. With 7:40 left to go, they went on. Yeah, I think they got it. Yeah, let's see. Oh no. Okay, he didn't get it. I thought he had it. All right, that's it. Yeah, game's over. He had it. Should have caught it. Okay, I thought they had tied the game up. Okay, gentlemen, we're getting ready to close it out here. A couple issues here. Got some good football games coming tomorrow. There's, you know, fight coming on your guy, Sean Penn,
Sean
Terrence Crawford.
Well, yeah, okay. Let me just give you a wrap-up here. The Canelo Plant fight, as you know, I think I told you, Plant wound up in the hospital overnight observation because he was concussed. Sometimes I think comically that maybe Canelo puts cement in his gloves because he destroys everybody. But the fact of the matter is that Plant says he's going to take 6-8 months, 8 months, and then challenge one of the Charlo brothers, the big dude. And Canelo has, in a sense, run out of opponents, really, unless he goes, like it was asked, to challenge Dmitry Bivol, the Russian-Korean, who's undefeated, 18-0, and he's the best out there as a light heavyweight. But Canelo also has, fighting tonight is one of his biggest challenges, another Mexican, David Benavides. To me, I think he's a harder puncher than Canelo. But the fact of the matter is that this guy's an idiot because he's undefeated, but he lost his title twice. Why? On the scale, because he doesn't train. And today, fighting a comeback fight. So
That's basic. And then you have David Burrell, the big dog, who scored a devastating bowler punch knockout in the semifinal last week. So moving on, Bud Crawford, yes, and Sean Porter. It looks like a good fight. It's going to build up to be a good fight. I don't think Bud Crawford is going to allow my NFL safety, Sean Porter, to get away with a lot of things. But then again, Porter is a guy that, in my opinion, can try and do anything within his realm because he's such so versatile. He does a Pacquiao. He goes at you from the left to the right side, to the left side. It comes at you from the front. It's like he's tackling a quarterback. And this is how he punches you. So maybe Crawford will have a hard time to go. Other fights coming up, I don't see anything else. Ugas wants to fight the winner, but Ugas says, well, maybe as I'm waiting, I want to fight Spence, but then there's no way that we know that Spence is going to come up. He says he wants to fight in 8 months. Ridiculous when you have a detached retina. So that's almost a career-ending injury, you know. So basically, Spence is out. They should declare, a vacancy, you know, and have him, you know, have a tournament of who could occupy that title until Spence comes back, because right now it's frozen. There's two titles there. So I don't, you know, between Spence and Sean Porter.
I think to have a tournament in the Spence situation. I mean, he came back off a death-defying type of accident.
They did the same thing with Tyson Fury when he became a junkie and a crackpot and went psycho.
In Fury's case, he had a drug problem. Spence has no drug problem.
So
why are we going to have a tournament for his title? He came back and fought after, so he's still the champ. He fought Sean in a fight that was close, but he fought. So he came back. He did fight. I mean, and one of the big – and you know it too. The big problem he had was that Terrence Crawford didn't want to fight him. Okay?
Well,
they gave him a chance.
Exactly. And you're absolutely right. I don't dispute that. But what I'm saying is how long can that title be frozen when there are other contenders?
Well,
you know,
No. It's not frozen. It's a simple fact that Crawford didn't want to fight him, and Sean wants to fight for the title against Crawford. That's all. Okay? Now, Pacquiao took the Ugas fight over Spence. Spence got hurt. Pacquiao, that's a good move. A good move on his. But Spence got hurt. But he got hurt getting ready. It's not like he says he's not going to fight. Hmm? Good.
So then the variance is because since that was an injury and not a drug problem with Tyson Fury,
right,
it should not be frozen. Oh, I don't know. I question that because now everybody who's voting for a title shot, there's a guy last week that is a monster. I forget his name. He fought in the preliminary. A guy's tremendous. But, you know, and then the Crawford.
So this is what we do then.
Make a tournament
for the number one contender.
Well, that makes sense because it keeps everybody busy because it's a tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason why Crawford, you know, I don't blame Crawford even though he's a pain in the ass, but I look at it this way. I'm Bud Crawford, okay? Bud Crawford won the lightweight. At one time he owned all of the super lightweights, the 140 pounds, just like Canelo won last week, the 68 pounds. So he made history.
Right.
He owned. Then he went on and won the 47 pound that Pacquiao lost from the European dude. So now he owns.
Right.
He has owned six titles, four in one division. Now, if you're fighting Spence, why does Spence get more money and I don't get when I'm the one that holds all these four titles. Now let me finish, and then he stupidly did not accept parity. He wanted more money than Spence, okay? And that's the, and of course that was Bob Arum manipulations, but that was a stupid move because parity.
That's what I'm saying. I agree. Yeah. If Spence said let's do 64. Here's my perfect example for that. Eddie Mustafa told Marvin Johnson, whatever you want, you got. All I want is a ring. You know, so he went down to Johnson's house. So, hey, if you think you can beat the 10% of something better than 10% of nothing, if you, okay, because here's my thing, too, and I think it before. Okay, so I'm going to give you $10 million more. So that's $10 more you're going to be taxed. And so give me the 30, you take the 40, so they'll tax me, I'll get 15. You're going to wind up with, so, I mean, if you think you can beat them, get him in the ring and fight. Crawford denied to fight everybody. He's only fighting your man because it's a mandatory, else he wouldn't be fighting him.
Yeah, this
was a mandatory number one fight. So Crawford would still be talking the same yang he's always talking. He had a shot at Spence.
Yeah, but that's exactly what I'm saying, that he foolishly, if you read it in the paper, he refused parity. Now, I won six titles, Spence only has two. Who the hell are you, man? You're walking into Spence's wheelhouse. He's a legitimate welterweight, not you. You're lucky
Are we being unfair to blame Aram on this? Well, Aram said, you know, he's a hard guy. It's like, okay, you are my manager. You are my agent. But you say, hey, Doc, $17 million. No, I want $19 million. That's we ain't going to do it. You said, hey, it's $19 million. I ain't doing it. Nice. You know. Okay,
because
you call back. Look, it ain't, listen, it ain't me, but Doc says he's want 19. So
because Aram is the dude that if you're going to fight his fighter, okay, you got to sign a two-year promotional contract with Aram. That's what Tim Bradley did. That's what Margarito did when he fought Cotto. He had to give up, dump the managers and go under him. Okay, so
okay,
he promoted Margarito, he promoted Pacquiao, he promoted Cotto, and Joshua Clary, and who did they fight? The Round Robin, those four welterweights fighting each other, the title stayed in Aaron's back pocket. So I suspect that Bob Aaron is behind it, even though Bud Crawford is full of shit, because, hey, 60-40? No, really. I'm not trying to be mean about it.
No,
but the reality,
parity,
my God, well, we're going to get even deeper. You see, the reason why Plant and Canelo broke down the negotiations, because Canelo is like Floyd Mayweather. I get 90% and you get 10 cents because I'm the superstar. That's the way Canelo carries himself now. So what happens, Plant says, F you, I'm not going to be doing that. So they broke negotiations, they got that, and he got a little taste of what he wrote, which was comfortable. Now, Dan Raphael, our favorite writer, says there's a window of maybe 15 mil for Plant as opposed to Canelo's 35 mil. So Plant says, hey, I'm a down home Tennessee Okie Fanoki. This is the biggest prize I can get, win or lose. I'm 50 mil richer. So that's why he took it, okay? Because the money was right. But
okay. No, that's understandable.
That's how it
happens. Hold on. I got a 973 call. Who's calling me? Is it my man across the water?
Doc, it's your boy from the water, yeah.
Yeah. You had your show already? Today?
Just finished.
Man, I wish I had a closing day. We need you to do Saturday. Okay, we got across the water here, enhanced sports.
So Dumb Crawford does not take because in parity he wanted more than Spence. Come on, stupid. 60-40 is better than nothing, and parity is better than you're being paid equal. So what the hell is the problem? But the guy,
right.
You know, and the 60-40 split finally got Pacquiao and Mayweather together. Why? Because, hey, the fight was so built up after 6 years that poor Pacquiao, was a 60-40 split, wound up with 190 mil. and Paul Mayweather, of course, almost $400 million, and that fight generated almost over $800 million. You know, so the fact is that 60-40 split because of the buildup made money. Now maybe this is why Caleb. The money, last-minute ticket sales. So maybe he got his money, plus his million-dollar beating, but he got his money.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying to you is that dudes are foolish when they see that they're going to get a big price.
Anybody still there?
Yes, hello. When Mayweather's getting 25 million, you're only getting 3 mil. Well, 3 mil was $3 million more than all of his 42 fights, even though he was a three-time world champ. So that's what the heck is going on here. People are accepting. And the fact of the matter is that Canelo now may have run out of opponents. Remind me of the great lightweight Ike Williams, who, man, he hadn't fought in 11 years because he destroyed all the opponents. So when he fought Jimmy Carter, his sparring partner, Jimmy Carter knocked him out. But he hadn't fought in 11 years. So that big fight with Sean Bud Crawford and Sean Porter is a big fight. But I wonder, since Sean Porter is a negotiator and former two-time champ, how many peanuts is he going to get as opposed to Crawford getting all of the money? And I understand it might be even pay-per-view. I don't think it merits pay-per-view, but then again, who am I? It is probably the biggest fight going now. You know, so there's nobody around, whether heavyweights or light heavyweights or whatever. This is the premium fight now.
Yes.
My call from across the water. My man across the water. Come on in. Join us here.
Yeah, how you doing?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, come on in. Yeah, Enhanced Sports. Talk to us.
Right. Well, the baseball season's over and the Braves pulling out. But, you know, I was hearing some controversy on the Braves win, saying how the other teams tanked and all the players were able to get over the Braves. You know, thing was, you know, some kind of like a cancer type move. Look, they made the right acquisitions at the right time, and everybody else is just, you know, bitching and complaining about it. And I don't think that's right. I mean, it was a tough division the Braves got in, and they pulled out, and yet everybody's, you know, is like bitching about it. They won fair and square, no matter what everybody else is telling you.
You can't condemn them for making trades that turned out, you know, positive for them. I mean, that's the whole idea. I mean, I'm trading for Destino because I want him to be my ace pitcher. I got Ed Miller to be my number one pitcher. So, I mean, it's not like you gave him to me. My problem I had with the World Series is, and it's been an underlining factor that everybody is using as a rationale for an anti-Houston mindset. Dusty Baker's a longtime friend of mine. And Dusty told me something early part of his season. There's only two guys on his team now that was there from the scandal. Okay? So why are we still having this anti-Houston sentiment?
Oh, you mean the other part?
Yeah. Okay. Now, the other thing with this, too, is that, you know, there were some calls made in that World Series where the empires went the other way. You take that game where Houston was up 2-0. They called a check swing. Empire first base says he didn't do it. God, imagine he's slung. Empire doesn't call him out. So the Braves wind up getting the run and winning that game. That game turns around. You're in the fifth inning, you're up 2-0, and you're out of it. And redundantly, on check swings that were advantageous to the Braves, the first base empire gave the Braves the benefit of the doubt. At the same time, they weren't doing that for the Braves, for the Astros. And a lot of that was that anti-sentiment against the Houston Astros. And that's totally unfair. I mean, even if I know you're throwing me a fastball, It doesn't mean I can hit it. Yeah, I got an advantage because I can dig in deeper, but it doesn't mean I'm going to hit it. But baseball is what? The 1951 Giants, as it was revealed,
yeah,
had a guy in the clubhouse using binoculars to tell them what
the
to do.
The Giants won the pennant.
But, you know, there you go. So, I mean, there were some calls that were made that were you know, that changed the game around. That particular call,
yeah,
because if the Braves lose that game, it's a 2-2 series. And when the Astros won the next game, it's a 3-2 series. So they go to Houston trying to win the pennant instead of losing the pennant. So there were calls that
right.
were made there that showed. And I had, even the guy on the news says, well, you know, I'm anti-Houston. No, you shouldn't
yes.
be saying that. As you know, I mean, if that's the way you feel,
well,
you shouldn't be saying it as a sportscaster.
But
okay. Here's the difference: is they cheated and got promoted. But how many guys have done
right.
the same thing and didn't get caught? And it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make any righter. But at the same
no.
time, as Dusty told me, there's nobody on this team from that team. They got two guys on that team from that team. So okay, so if you're gonna boo those two guys, fine. But why are you booing my third baseman? Why are you booing my center fielder? Why are you booing my catcher? They're not here anymore. They're not the guys. They're not the guys. And to hold that sentiment against everybody on that team, four guys over here went through the red light. So I give 10 guys a ticket for the red light. Only the four guys who went through the red light. That's all. Or only the four guys who don't have their ID on them. So and there was no question. There were calls that were made against Houston because they were Houston. And it were calls of a detrimental situation, which was that call. Houston's up 2-0. The guy checks swings. He got ready to say, oh, my goodness, he struck a dog. He didn't swing. Okay, so now Houston gives them only one run. But if they got out of any, they give up no runs, and they wanted to win in that game.
Yeah.
So there were things that were done that was an anti-Houston sentiment. And, you know, and here's the thing, too. Acting like he's the first guy to cheat. Nah, because, like I said, I thought it was unfair on the Black Sox scandal. Shoeless Joe Jackson hit 400. He didn't know nothing about cheating. Why is he being banned from baseball?
Right?
Yeah, whatever. I don't know the exact year. But, you know, it's like you and me and Justino in the car. The cop stops you for speeding but gives a ticket to me and Justino. We're sitting in the back seat of the car. We weren't driving the car. Boom. How do you fire his staff and don't fire him? You fired his coaches. One of the coaches he picked. So you fire his coaches, but you don't fire. There were things done in that series on calls made that was an anti-Houston sentiment that turned that series around.
Right.
The Houston Astros had the best hitting team in baseball, the best defensive team in baseball. They got five guys up for the gold glove, okay? And the only team in baseball history to score close to 40 runs with two outs. Okay, they didn't hit the last couple of games, but there were calls made that just turned everything around. Elgin Baylor, the great Elgin Baylor, greatest forward ever played the game. Talked about
yes.
a game against the Celtics. You know, Sam Jones pushed him out of bounds. Referee told him, hey, Elgin, just keep playing. He fouled
I've
him.
Talked to
he
Sam.
He goes to the free throw line.
Occasionally.
Huh?
I've talked to
because
Sam occasionally, Doc.
Sam Jones?
No, but he was a guest on the show that I was calling in. I happened to speak to the gentleman. Very nice gentleman.
Oh, yeah. Well, Sam. Well, you know, Sam Jones. Yeah, Sam Jones, when the Celtics needed a big game, Bill Russell, the coach, said we need a big game. And what you loved about Sam Jones is Sam Jones would hit four net jumpers. He would bank another three shots and make his free throws. And, you know, and you know, when you talk about champions, Sam Jones won 8 championships in a row. And he won 10 in totality. So when you talk about champions, yeah, he's a 10-time champion, you know, and a clutch player. I got a chance to meet him. He too thought Jordan was a great player. But yeah, I just say, you know, the right call, the right time, or the wrong call, not at the right time, can be detrimental, you know. And there was a lot of calls in that Houston series that was crazy. Like I said, and especially that game when the Braves are up 2-1. And Houston had a chance to make it 2-2, and check swings. No, he didn't. He check swing. He struck out. Innings over. Houston's out. The inning. It's five innings. It's 2-0. Nope. Didn't get out the instant.
Yes.
Braves got a run. So there was too much. Like I said, just, you know, it's remarkable. You know, in our society, that you know, it's remarkable that God can forgive, but man can't. Remarkable. You know what I mean? And
well,
you know,
forgive,
there's nobody.
But can't forget.
Well, you got to do both. That's the situation. You got to.
I know you do, but some people forget that.
Yeah, because but if you know, if you here's the situation. I say, if the student loans me $20, okay,
yes,
and I don't pay him back, he forgets it. But when I come back again and ask him for another 20, it'll come back to his memories. Hey, wait a minute, man, he forgot it. You know, so the negativity that I will do to attempt to do it again will make it, now he'll say, no, you owe, I forgot about it, man, but you owe me 20, but you're not going to get it. So, you let it go because they'll come back and make you once again, okay, wow. But, I mean, and the point is I made, so if you're going to forget, you're not going to forget, then why are you holding it against Calverone? Why are you holding it against Say? Why are you hitting it against Tucker? These guys weren't on that team. So why are you pointing at them in a negative light? You know, I mean, it's not like they were driving the car to rob the bank. And even with that, if they're driving the car, then the guys inside the bank with the gun.
Forgive me my ignorance and all that, but Arizona is down on Houston because of the sign stealing, all that nonsense. This is a whole hoopla that they should not have won the series. They wanted to take the series victory out of it because they. But I found that to be ridiculous in a sense, because when you're in sports, you try to get the upper hand on your opponent, whether it's boxing, whether it's basketball, with scouting sports. And you try to steal. If they stole the signs, I mean, they made it look like it was Nixon's Watergate, man. Like they trying to steal the votes. Right. And
like I said too, because I know you throwing me a fastball, that mean I can hit. If you're 247 hitter, you ain't hitting Gibson fast anyway. Don't matter.
Right.
You can't hit.
The fact of the matter is that everybody tries to get the upper hand. When I was fighting, I reached the final of the Golden Gloves, and I'm fighting Bobby Woodside. That was his name. 43-2, two-time champ and one-time finalist. And all. I was a freaking punk at 8-0 with 8 knockouts. The dude came into the gym pretending, my gym was closed. Can I train? I said, well, I don't give a crap. You could train. But it was a scouting thing to find out who the hell I was.
Yeah.
So the guy trained, and the only thing I didn't do with it was spar. And I probably would have kicked his ass then. But the idea is that to get my moves, and to find out what I was made of. So the fact about it is a waste of time because I knocked him out in the third round. But the fact is that here, you people do. When I was managing high school baseball, junior pony, Little League, there was always signs and signs that the other team was trying to steal. So, again, maybe I'm ignorant to what the hell was going on with Houston, but what was so criminal was they got rid of everybody. The guys, Louis Cora was lost to Boston managership because he was part of that combined.
Right.
Carlos Beltran was thrown out of the Mets because he was part of that combined. Altuve, he was the crook, the stealer. I mean, what the hell is going on here? So what are they stole signs? So what are they stole signs? I mean, to me, somebody tell me how stupid I am in that regard because of the fact that I didn't find anything wrong with it. See, basically how I feel about this whole thing. And what was so criminal that they wanted to take away the World Series victory from Houston Astros. To me, that was stupid. It's all fair in sports, man. Unless you went into he went into the locker, the Giants locker room, and broke into the manager's clubhouse and stole his lineup and stole his book of signs. I don't know what went on here. You know, I'm sitting there that whole season saying, well, what the hell did they do wrong? When baseball is stealing signs, where the catcher goes out to the pitcher and he covers his mouth and telling him, what the hell do you do? Or when the third base coach is giving the sign to the catcher, whatever, the catcher is blocking the batter so that the batter doesn't see what's going on. That's typical. I mean, somebody correct my ignorance, man, but that's typical.
Yeah. I agree. Great point, Dusty. It's never, this is, you know, I said it before, the Sports in Depth panel is a selection of just, you hear things here,
yeah.
You learn things here that you're learning by yourself. And you made it, just you're the first guy to really put that in perspective. And, you know, what is the big deal? And maybe the big deal maybe have to do, one again, with the ethnicity of the horde of players on that team. You know, as we never lose sight, that's always a big issue in baseball, you know, and sports in general. You know, it's just ridiculous, you know what I mean, that you're right. It's a tremendous point. I mean, and it, we add to the point is how grievous was it, and then to the position that even though I know you throw me a curveball, that means I'm going to hit it. And what if I do hit it and I line up in a triple play? So a tremendous point. Gentlemen, we're getting ready to roll here. Fox 24,
okay.
Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Garden. Enhanced Sports is here. The Standard Baby Lois is here. NFL Ed was here with us. All Knowing Eileen and Mo, who knows. We're going to close out the show. Enhanced Sports, one more time. What time you're on? And last closing thoughts before we run.
5 to 10 p.m., the Enhanced Sports Show. That's Saturdays at East Coast time. Number to call is 512-543-4662. We cover just about everything in the world of sports.
And you say soup to nuts.
Yes, we do. And some of us in the show are nuts, so that's very fitting.
That was good. That was good. That was a good response.
Yeah, you sure heard me today. Okay.
It's a good comeback.
Yeah.
Hey, you gotta be a little wacky. You gotta be nuts to
be in the wild business. Dusty, give us some closing thoughts before you go, baby.
Oh, God bless everybody. But you know, we live in a pandemic where now we're finally getting back to normalcy, and of course, us fanatics about sports, and us fanatics of sports are finally beginning to find some ease. Finally, we're getting crowds into the stadiums, and we see, you know, instead of mannequins and all the stadiums, whether it's baseball, whether it's boxing, whether it's wrestling, you know, and I begin to enjoy it. The only thing is that I talked about it, was hungry, is that the press conferences, man, we don't have them anymore here in New York, and it was two or three in the week. It's almost like we spend more time being with each other at the press conference than at home. But now maybe sometime, you know, hopefully with this vaccine, so, you know, we'll be able to get back to a normalcy, you know, enjoy sports as we enjoyed them before. And going to the press conferences and sit down and argue about who's on first and what's on second, who's going to win, who's not going to win, but it's no more that
or
way.
How big a plate you got? Let's tell our fans good night in Spanish for us before we close out.
Buenas noches, amigos y hermanos, y cuídense, and God bless, man. Okay, take care, baby.
Thanks to me. Okay, Enhanced Sports, thanks a lot for being with us. Larry Hart,
yes,
just to say before we go on our way.
Hi, I'm Larry Hart from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Sports in Depth, Doug Lindley Stanley Sr., a.k.a. Melvin Doc Stanley, and Sports Posse with members on this segment, NFL Ed, All Knowing Eileen, and Mo, who knows, not to mention Clean Gene, is an in-depth informative education and historical look at the world of sports on this, as we now the legendary award-winning radio show Sports in Depth. Collaboration with both a daily and historical perspective, bringing also both an in-depth look and perspective only on the sports of our times, and two of the players and performers the said events, both now and yesterday. Sports in Depth, a.k.a. SID, also brings a unique strategy of sports from an intellectual perspective, not just athletics, but it takes the role of God-given talent, ignition, the two-faced God, a God-blessed mind, filled with passion, determination, intellect, and belief in competing also. And with the in-depth knowledge
from the virgin lips of God's satanic posse, Fortune Dippers 2, The World is Dead. Thanks for joining us once again. We'll go through rumors, last issues, and brand new truth. And we salute the coming of Mr. and Mrs. Michael and Demi Linton. I delivered Demi baby coming, and we enjoyed your shower last night. Good at giving advice, horrible and reluctant to take or heed it. Sometimes the less you do, the more is appreciated. Beauty may be only skin deep, but it's always appealing in notes. Too great is always on display in life, and outside, Serena, and vineyard where it was obtained and ordained. Dr. Henry's words of wisdom and truth. Sports and death. And just wisdom words of wealth. Blog Talk Radio, and Personal Government Network. Thanks a lot for joining us once again. We'll be talking to you soon. Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio, and Personal Government Network. Dr. Kenny, Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio, Personal Government. Good night.
Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
I think I often told you about meeting Billy Paul, and I think I've often told you this is too close. Thanks for being once again. But it's back home. And now he is. Billy Williams.
I've been away so long. But now, baby, I've done and said it all. And now I know that home is a woman to call my very own. Crying over me. Cause this time, baby, I won't leave. There is no place left for me to roam. And you I just had to know what there was. Now I know that was a mystery. Cause when you've got someone who waits for you while you're gone, you should try to hold on to that. You should try to hold on to that. You should try to hold your own.
I'll eat his face, but don't worry about it. Mo, leave it there. Yeah, I'll take it. That can't hurt me. Doing the birthdays for this month real quick. My son-in-law, greatest son-in-law in the world, on the 11th. The 3rd, greatest daughter in the world, Gemini. On the 5th, my niece, Nia. On the 4th, my neighbor, Monique. Greatest niece in the world, 27th. That's early ahead of the game. The veterans on the 11th. Let's not forget what the men
who put on our military uniforms do for us, and the sacrifices some have made, the ultimate sacrifice. Thanks for being with us. SoundCloud picks us out, trying remotely express the gratitude, grace, and love from God and His Son Jesus. Wasn't that Black Hat Radio? I trust in God and the Word. Thanks for being with us.
He's wonderful.
Man, I'll sing for
you. He's so wonderful. The Lord is my shepherd, He's my guide, whatever I need.
Why?
The Lord will provide and praise my Lord's name. I know He's so wonderful. And whoa, He's wonderful. And I really believe the Lord is wonderful. Yes, He is. And whoa, He's wonderful. I know the Lord is so wonderful. Yes, He is. And whoa, if you never tried God, try the Lord one day and see what my Father come down and make a way. And whoa, and oh, I can't help but love God. He's so wonderful. And oh, and oh, He's a yes, He is. And I know the man is wonderful. Just He is. Oh, He's wonderful. I know the Lord. He's so wonderful. And oh, Lord. My Father too, there's no limit to what my Lord can do. And whoa, and oh, oh, I love God. He's so
wonderful. We can't waste that, I mean.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley.
Yeah, nothing wasted, Eileen.
As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports In Depth on Blog Talk Radio.